Hi, my name is Frankie. Thank you for listening to Two My Mom. I never listen.
Welcome to the 2024-25 college basketball season. This is our first episode of Nothing But Net. I believe this is year five, so I don't really know what episode this is, but we've been doing this for a while and we're having a lot of fun. My guests today are the head basketball coach at the University of Maine, Amy Vachon, and her college teammate, Kelly Bowman, who happens to be Kelly Flagg, and we're going to get to why that flag name is so popular. But first, we're going to talk a little women's hoops before we get to Cooper and Ace, Kelly's kids. Amy.
Yes.
Off to a great start, 1-0. Once again, you're had some early season adversity with some injuries, but you seem to always find a way. I mean, you've only five times been the coach of the year in this league, including last year winning the regular season and the conference tournament to go to the NCAA for your fourth time. Okay, so there's got to be certain pillars about how you go about doing it. What's the secret sauce?
Really good people, you know, working with really good people and great kids on our team. And Maine's a special place. Kelly will speak to that, I know, as a Mainer at heart, will always be a Mainer. It's just a great place, and you find great, great young student athletes who want to come here and work and buy into what your philosophy is. And it's just a lot of fun. So,
and Kelly, you were teammates with Amy during your time at Maine. I know you guys had some winning seasons. You won and went to the tournament. You had a huge upset that you were a part of in 1999 when you guys beat Stanford in the NCAA tournament. Tell me a couple of things that you fondly remember about your time as a player at Maine.
There are a lot of things that I remember fondly. Of course, I was one of those players that had a lot of injuries and fought through a lot of adversity. But I think my senior season was almost a storybook, season. We had won the conference championship every other year. And of course, my senior year, we don't have Cindy Blodgett anymore. People kind of counted us out, and we went on to have a really, really great season, losing in our conference championship. And we thought that, you know, all was lost. And to sit there on selection Sunday and, you know, hear our name called for the first time ever to get, you know, an at-large, that was pretty, pretty special and memorable for sure. And then, you know, to be able to extend our season and be the first team in Maine to, you know, win a NCAA tournament game, and came really close to pulling off the second round. And that was really great. But, you know, I remember that fondly. And of course, all my teammates who, you know, were all amazing, and we were really close and had great relationships.
That's what it's all about, right? Getting on the bus, traveling around with your teammates, having some stories that you can share when you get together. I know with me and my teammates from NC State, we tell the same stories. We laugh at the same stuff. We laugh at the things we thought we got away with, and all the fun that we had together. Amy, when you look back on all the fun times that you had as a player, how do you use some of those experiences to manage your team today?
Yeah, I try to use a lot. I try to use what I liked and what I didn't like, you know, with our team. You know, I think looking back to my experience, and I think it's fair for really anyone who played college basketball or just a college athlete in general, but it's a lot of the times that you don't see, like other people don't see that aren't on the court, you know, the times that you're with each other and the laughs and the tears and, you know, all of that kind of stuff are just things that bond you. And I look at our team, you know, every year and how they grow together and who leads and who doesn't and just how they develop. And it's just a really cool thing. And it makes me think back to when we were in college and all the silly things we did and said, but when it came down to it, we loved each other so much. We had each other's back and would do anything for each other. And I think that's still today, you know, to this day, we know we can lean on each other if we need something. So,
Yeah, isn't that what's so special about the experience that we hope's not getting lost with today's college athlete, right? Because there's so many distractions, there's so many opportunities now that they've never had. I mean, we used to just lift weights and run, play hoops, leave in the summer, work out with, go home with your workout in the summer, come back, you better be ready to be in shape. And then you had till October 15 when practice started, and then, you know, things started picking up then. Such a different time. What other sports did you guys play? Because I know you didn't just play basketball. You had to have been multi-sport athletes. Kelly?
I played soccer and softball also. So I was a three-sport athlete.
Yeah. What about you, Amy?
I played field hockey and grew up playing softball. Once I got into high school, I didn't play softball, but I played field hockey all the way through.
Yeah, I played volleyball and softball. And of course, now I'm a big golfer. I love to play golf. That's one of the things that
I love too.
Kelly, golf, that's your thing?
It is now that I'm not, you know, in shape. So you don't have to be super fit to golf.
You do not. You have to have some other conditioning requirements to play golf. I'm sure Amy probably packs a cooler in the back of her golf cart when she goes.
The two times I've golfed, I have done that. Yes.
Yes. I mean, are there good golf courses in Maine, Kelly, or are you following Cooper and Ace around playing golf when you can?
We're currently living in Greensboro. And so we're playing a lot of golf here. Yeah.
Have you played the Grand Over?
That's one we want to get to, and we only live a few miles from there. So everyone's told us about it. I met some girls that play volleyball for UNC Charlotte. UNC Greensboro the other day, and they told me that's their home course. And they said it's really hard, so I'm staying away from it.
Oh, no, they got two courses out there, and it's absolutely beautiful. I'm going to invite you right now to be my guests at the KU Cancer Fund Golf Tournament when we come in August, both of you. You're going to be on my team. The two of you will get one more. Get somebody who can really
play. I'll bring the cooler.
I'm recruiting right now. Kelly, you're in. Amy, you're definitely playing. We'll have a good time. We'll figure something out. We just need another. See if you can get us an A player, Kelly. We'll put you on the recruiting trail.
Okay.
I mean, since recruiting is something that I think you're very familiar with, your boys have been recruited since what? 6 years old, 7 years old. I mean, I'm not exaggerating, right? I mean, how far back has it been for you and your husband managing the schedules that you guys have with your young men?
Their schedules were really crazy starting in about third grade. And we had three. So we have an older son who is a junior at the University of Maine this year, Hunter. And Amy gets to see him a lot more than I do, which makes me a little jealous, but he was a busy kid playing lots of sports. And then his brothers, you know, one year, I think fourth grade, they decided to play soccer and football at the same time, all basketball players, baseball. So we were constantly traveling, but as far as recruitment, that really, you know, picked up probably seventh, eighth grade, where, you know, we were having conversations, saying hello to coaches as they pass by and, you know, that kind of thing. So we knew at that point that was on the radar.
How much have you have been able to fall back on your friendship and relationship with Amy and helping navigate the recruiting process, if you needed to have any help at all? Because I can't imagine the barrage of people that were coming at you, like just in waves, trying to get the attention of you and your husband.
As far as Amy, not a lot. We just gossip and catch up, you know, when we talk. We talk basketball and I fill her in on everything that's going on, but we've been really fortunate. Andy Bedard has been the boys' AAU coach from fourth grade all the way up through to last year. And he also played with Amy and I during our time at UMaine, was a great player himself, and, you know, his advice, his, you know, knowledge of, you know, how the recruiting process kind of worked was kind of invaluable. Although I say invaluable, but It's changed. The landscape has changed so much from when we were players, and the way things sort of work. Of course, the NCAA rules change from year to year anyway. Nobody knows that better than Amy. You know, they're constantly changing live period and dead period times and how that all kind of works. So, you know, it's just, it's been kind of a whirlwind. And then, you know, with Cooper reclassifying, a year, it made it a little bit longer, in some ways, cause we dealt with his recruitment. And then, you know, this past, few months we've been dealing with ACES stuff. So, it's been a busy couple of years.
When did you make the decision to send them to Montverde Academy, and how did that come about? Because he's 17 right now. Cooper is in college, playing college basketball at the highest level with a lot of expectation and anticipation, but it feels like he's been living that sort of lifestyle in the basketball scene since a very young age.
When they were in seventh grade, we got an opportunity to go play in the Made Circuit, which at the time was the sort of the feeder program for the Nike's EYBL circuit. Mm-hmm. And so they were playing a national AAU schedule and getting a lot of eyes on them and a lot of attention, and Cooper especially. And we didn't know anything about really Montverde Academy or even that there was a national. It's just, it's not something that's on the radar of people from Maine. So, you know, we were approached about maybe looking at some other high school options for them, even before they made it, you know, got into high school at Nokomis in Newport, Maine. But for us, it was really important for all three of our boys to be able to play at least 1 year together. Hunter was a senior when Ace and Cooper were freshmen. And our high school had never won the state title. And it was always kind of a pipe dream, you know, for us as we were raising our kids, not only for us, but our best friends all had boys, all the same age group. And that year they all played on the Nokomis team and they were able to win the state title. But it was pretty obvious to us even before then that you know, them being in Maine for 4 years wasn't going to be what was best for their development in the long term. And a lot of people think, oh, you just sent them to Montverde because Montverde, you know, wins and you just want it, you know, to win or to get money or whatever it was. Our sole motivation was for their development. And we didn't really even care about, not that we didn't care about the national championships, because that's always fun, but for them, the development of their game, to practice every day against other, you know, 4- and 5-star guys. What was the motivation? Just, you know, if you walk into your gym and you're the best player in the gym, it's time to find a new gym. And that's always been our philosophy. So, you know, that was really it.
Don't you find it interesting how many people weigh in on what you need to do parenting your own children? I'm the mother of three boys. I have three boys. I know what you're saying about boys. My kids are a little bit older than yours, but my youngest son is a walk-on fifth year at Louisville. So you will see Patrick Antonelli at some point this season, probably dunking in warmups, maybe not playing, but you'll see Patrick. But it's interesting to me how people try to tell you how to discipline your kids, what's best for your kids. And nobody knows better than the mom. Don't you find that to be interesting, when you're making and helping your kids navigate through decisions that you had no training for or no idea? You're just trying to do what's best for your kid.
Yeah. And I think with that, you know, it's been all about our circle, and we've kept our circle really, really small. And you know, the opinions of the people that matter to us, that's all that we listen to. And we try to block out the noise. It doesn't mean you don't see it, but yes, it's fascinating how everyone, you know, is it the keyboard warriors are like, you know, perfect parents and they know all about basketball and what you should do. It's incredible. There's a lot of experts out there.
So let's talk about parents at games, because I think this would be an interesting topic, right? So I'm going to tell you me first. Okay. And then, So my son, Patrick, did play 4 years of D2, and last year he did have a labrum issue. So that's why he actually has 2 years of eligibility, the COVID and the red shirt. So when we would go to the games, D2, there's not a lot of people in the gym. And I made sure that his coaches knew that I'm here to be the mom. I'm not here to tell you to call timeout, put my kid in, run this play, you know, yelling at my kid to shoot it. I actually say nothing. I don't even cheer. And sometimes I don't even like sitting next to my husband because I don't want him to lean and say something. And then my body language is like, you know, so I kind of keep to myself a little bit. And it's not because of I'm trying to be separate or arrogant, or I just really want to be the mom. And I don't want anybody to misread anything that happens in the gym. How do you, let me ask Amy first, because Amy, I know from college coaches all across the country that parents are still calling head coaches in college. Like, I think it's crazy. I think parents shouldn't be calling coaches, but I know it happens. What's your take on that?
I mean, I've been very fortunate that parents don't call me. I mean, we talk to our parents when we see them on the road. We are very fortunate they come to a lot of our games. But as far as that, like calling it, I've been very fortunate with that. But yeah, I mean, it's different. It definitely used to be, you know, I think it keeps going. I mean, Kelly, can you imagine when we were in college, if someone called our coaches, we would be like, what is happening? And now it's almost a little bit more, I think, normal, which is, I don't know. I don't think it's great, but our world is changing, I guess. I don't know.
So. Yeah, Kelly, I was watching the first Duke game and they were characterizing you as tough. And you were sitting there watching the game. And I was wondering, well, I wonder what Kelly really is like, because I talked to Amy and when I called Amy randomly because I was interested in a rules thing. And then that's how I found out that you guys were teammates. I wasn't even thinking that.
I would describe myself as, okay, so it's tricky. I don't know how to say this. I have been the assistant coach for the boys, Ace and Cooper's AAU team with Andy Bedard, since they were, I think, in fifth mm-hmm. or sixth grade that I became the assistant on the bench, which is interesting in and of itself, right? A boys team and young middle school age to high school age boys don't typically want their mom sitting on the bench. So that was an interesting dynamic, but we actually did very, very well with it. So I'm now finding myself a year removed from being the assistant coach to having to wear the hat of just mom. Mm-hmm. And I think I've done pretty well with it. I cheer. I'm one of those moms. I do cheer, but I cheer for everybody. I cheer for everybody on the team. I cheer for people making the right plays, including my own. I want them to make the right play. Mm-hmm. But I definitely, I'm tough. Like, I'm a tough critic, you know. Coop, I think against, who was it? Arizona State. And he had, you know, 22 and, you know, eight or what, I don't remember what his stat line was. The only thing that I was focused on, he missed 3 free throws. And I was so like, what are we doing? Like, you're a 90% free throw shooter. Why are you missing easy free throws? Like, they're free for a reason. You know, that was the only critique that I had. It was like, I couldn't move past that he had missed 3 free throws. It's like, you're better than that. So he was 100% the other night against Maine. And I was very much, much more pleased all around with this game.
Yeah, I'm imagining that you manage all 3 boys equally in terms of discipline and what you expect from them. Just because one gets more attention than another, or, you know, I have the similar situation with my 3 boys. I actually have my middle son gets more attention than the other two for other reasons. Those that know me, full transparency, my middle son has Down syndrome and it requires a little bit extra and a little bit more. And he's a celebrity and he gets a lot of, you know, he's just a celebrity. I mean, I can't even, I don't know how else to say it. Like, everyone knows my son, Frankie. But we don't treat him any differently. We treat them all the same. It does require a little bit more for Frankie. And I'm wondering if it requires a little bit more in a different way to manage Cooper because of all the celebrity and success that he's had so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and of course, you know, they all think somebody else is the favorite, and they play that, you know, try to play that card. Hunter thinks, you know, I love his brothers more. Ace thinks I like Cooper more. Like, there's always those that, but we were that way with my parents. Like, you always have those sort of, the way that, you know, the way that we parent them is, I wouldn't say it's across the board exactly the same, because they're all completely different and they need different things. You know, sometimes one of them might need some tough love, and some of them, you know, one of them needs, you know, more compassion or more, you know, more of your attention, like you said. So it's a little bit different with Cooper. I am helping to sort of manage all that's happening in his world to alleviate the burden from him, so that he can keep the focus where it needs to be. So I'm shouldering a lot of those meetings and conversations with agents and things like that, so that he doesn't have to focus on the wrong things. So that does occupy a lot of my time and attention, but I'm not going to be missing, you know, any of Ace's games if I can help it. And, you know, I'm missing two Duke games this season because Ace has games the same night, and we're going to do some divide and conquer for the first time. We've never had to do that. And so our friends who have sons and daughters have had to kind of do that before. And we've always been really lucky that they've been on the same teams. So this is the first time that Ace and Cooper have been split up, and we're going to be going in two different directions a little bit, but you know, we do the best that we can as parents. And I'm sure we don't get it right 100% of the time. But we try, and I think they all know that we love them, and, you know, we love them all the same for sure.
Cooper, he's so good, right, man? He's getting so much acclaim. He's only played in a couple of college basketball games. He's 17. He's projected as the number one draft pick. His workouts with the Olympic team in the offseason are legendary. How does he keep the focus? Like, I know you're trying to keep some of that stuff off him, but how do you keep your focus when there's so much swirling around? You know, to me, I want to get back to your focus, but I'm listening to you, and I'm hearing Caitlin Clark's mother in a very similar way. Caitlin, with all the celebrity that she's had, her mother has helped manage a lot of what she's been able to accomplish. And I referenced Caitlin as, I don't know if you guys will remember this cartoon, Mr. Magoo. You know, Mr. Magoo is walking down the street or riding his car, and stuff's happening all around him. Like, bombs are going off and planes are buzzing by and stuff's happening, and he just keeps going. He never changes his focus. I was just wondering, how do you keep that focus primary?
I think, you know, for him, it's just his personality. He really doesn't get bothered by all the outside noise. And I think if it was like we say all the time, if this was Ace in Cooper's shoes, it would look different, because they're different kids, and the way they kind of handle adversity and the way they handle the attention, each one of them, like, it's a little bit different. But, you know, of any of our kids who would have to shoulder this, he's the one. Like, he's very Type A. He's very singularly focused on what he's doing. He's been that way since he was in the second grade. And I think he also, coming from a small town in Maine, has had to work really, really hard to get to where he's at. And coming from a small town, like, that's almost impossible, right? He's the kind of the first one to have ever made it in the national spotlight in this way. And so he knows that it can be taken away at any minute. And we all know that, you know, and we don't take that for granted at all. We also, you know, we don't buy into rankings. Like, that really doesn't mean a whole lot of anything. You know, it's an arbitrary number that some person has, you know, said, this is where he's at. But we just remind him every day, like, all of that goes away if you lose your focus and you don't keep the main thing, no pun intended.
Yeah.
A good pun. I like it.
Yeah. The main thing, right, Amy? Isn't that what you're doing with your players right now? It's really no different.
No, it's not. And I think, you know, as someone who has known Kelly and Ralph, I mean, by the way, happy birthday to Ralph Kelly. For a long time, I think it's incredible how they've raised all three of their sons. And, you know, it's they have done a really just amazing job of keeping them humble, you know, all of them. I mean, any one of those boys, when they come to Maine, they are rock stars and they are celebrities. And they do a really good job of having them enjoy that. But also, you know, that's why they are who they are, because they've done such a great job raising them. And it's been nice to see from the outside in. And what Kelly said, I think, is really important about keeping her circle small. I mean, everyone wants a piece of Cooper and everyone wants a piece of Kelly and her family. And they're doing a great job with it. So it's so fun to watch from the outside. I'll tell you that, and get a little bit of insight once in a while.
I'm sure that when you said gossip, I'm sure there's a lot of weaving going on in your storytelling. You know, the one thing that I've marveled at is he seems to have a very philanthropic attitude about a lot of the gifts that he's been given. And I think teaching someone how to give is a skill. Obviously, your roots in Maine, both of you, how you've grown up and the way you come about approaching your business, whether it's women's basketball or managing your family, Kelly, it seems to be something that you and your husband have done a tremendous job of teaching your kids how to give and give back. Talk a little bit about the community service aspect of what you just talked about, a small town kid making it big, and why you signed with, you know, New Balance, and why he's somebody who wants to continue to give back to his community. You can see it in a 17-year-old kid. That's amazing, right? When you take a higher look at it from away and you come back and go, this kid's just 17 years old. How'd you guys do that?
You know, I think the giving back is just kind of been natural. We've been so blessed with so many opportunities already. And, you know, when you partner with really great brands, you mentioned New Balance, like, they're a family business. They're still family owned, private owned company, that they're just super incredible to work with. They're very generous and they're, you know, wanting to partner with our family in ways that we can make an impact on, you know, our main communities. And that was something that was really important. It's really important to Cooper. He talks about it a lot, that he wants to make sure that, you know, he always remembers where he's from and that he takes care of the people that matter most to him. And, you know, he's been impacted by, you know, a lot in his short life. You know, whether it's the story of how, you know, we sort of struggled to bring our family together, and the way that we were impacted by Maine Medical Center in Portland and the Ronald McDonald House Charity Foundation, and looking for ways that we can give back to those, you know, in those areas, but also, you know, his friend Donovan Kurt, who passed mm-hmm. of glioblastoma 2 years ago, actually this week, at 19 years old, and they were very good friends, and he was a cousin to one of Ace and Cooper's best friends. So, you know, just wanting to honor him when we can, and also, you know, research for those types of causes is just, you know, things that mean something to Cooper. And I think when it means something to you, and it's not just, you know, a random charity, like, you're wanting to really pour into it. And I think he feels strongly about, you know, being able to pour into those things when it makes sense and when he has the time and the opportunity, because we are very blessed.
I think that's just an amazing perspective, because I do think giving is a skill and it's one that needs to be taught. And obviously you both have learned through your experiences and you have shared moving forward in your life with all the life skills that you've been able to bring as well. Amy, just a parting shot, maybe something that, you know, you're looking forward to around your team. I know we spent a lot of time talking about Kelly and Cooper and Ace and Hunter. And, but, you know, the reason why I called you initially was because I just was checking in and wanted to see if you were still on the rules committee so I could give it to you on a couple of things, you know, that I always like to throw at you, right?
Yeah.
You said, "You're out of here."
My term was up. I was out. Yeah.
You did a great job because you got a couple things accomplished that needed to be accomplished. So,
yeah.
I love that you serve in that capacity for the game because it's not an easy responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah. I learned a lot. It was definitely interesting. No, we're really excited. I mean, we have a great group, a pretty veteran group. And it's a group that a lot of different kids are going to be stepping up. We've lost a lot in the over the last year to injury and graduation. So, you know, we had a good first game and we have a tough schedule, but we love that. And, you know, we're just so excited that college basketball's here and every day there's a game and can watch our games. We can watch Maine Men. We can watch Duke now. I love when I have like people to watch. Last year, I don't know if you know this, Debbie, but last year, Donovan Klingon at UConn, his mom was a college teammate and I as well.
I read that. I meant to ask you about that.
Yeah. So watching UConn last year, now the trip, it's just so cool to have like a rooting interest in games in the winter. It's really fun. So.
No, I agree with you because, you know, we're so neutral. We don't, you know, like with what I do, I'm supposed to stay in the middle on all of it. And I really try to, but, you know, I will get to a few more Louisville games. I hope I'll have Louisville on my schedule a little bit. I definitely anticipate having Duke on my schedule, Kelly, so I know I'm going to see you. But I'm just so grateful that both of you took the time to do this. This is fun, and you're welcome back anytime. We love having guests on the podcast that are new and different, unique, and give our listeners a fresh perspective on, you know, what you're going through, Amy, with your team, and then, Kelly, what you're dealing with at such a high-profile level in everything that you do. The poor kid probably can't sneeze without somebody posting it on social media. Duke is a special place, that's for sure.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been fun. It's good to see
you.
We don't get to see each other that much.
Right.
Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. That's Amy Vachon, the head coach at UMaine. Thank you, Amy, who going to be pushing her team towards another NCAA tournament. And then Kelly Flagg, mother of Hunter, Cooper, and Ace. And we're so glad that you could be with us. Thanks for being with us on Nothing But Net.